Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. The message for today was recorded on Sunday, March 26th, 2017. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson. Why me? When troubles come our way in life and they shake us, that is one of the first questions that we ask. You know, as soon as we're actually able to wrap our heads around the reality of what's happened, it doesn't take long for the question to follow, why me? When the cancer diagnosis comes, why me? When someone you love betrays you, why me? When you lose your job, why me? When a parent dies unexpectedly, or even worse, a spouse or a child, why me? We can put ourselves in the shoes of this man who was born blind. Why me? Maybe he asked himself. Maybe he thought, what have I done to deserve this? His condition forced him to beg for bread, likely from the same people day after day, year after year. For the most part, they would apparently pass him by without seeming to care. It seems that even his parents got tired of taking care of him. Even though he couldn't see, one imagines that his bigger problem was that people didn't see him. Isn't that often how it happens for the sufferer? The sufferer becomes invisible. This man would more likely be tripped on than talked to. And for this time and place, this man who was born blind, I think we can agree, would have been justified in asking, why me? And yet, in the story in John's gospel, we're not told that the man asked that question. It's actually Jesus' disciples who ask the question. Essentially, they say, why is this man suffering? Why him? And Jesus' answer is something that we need to pay attention to. The disciples' question has as its premise sin. Suffering comes from sin. So who sinned? This man or his parents? But Jesus apparently sees this as a false way to understand suffering, and he says, neither. But the premise of the disciples' question shows us something about the way that we tend to think about suffering. When we ask that question, why me, we tend to either get angry on the one hand or feel guilty on the other. Ultimately, Jesus says that both of those ways of explaining suffering are wrong, but it's worth looking at how that plays out. When suffering comes, we say, well, there's got to be someone to blame. And so we first look for a scapegoat. We look for someone to be angry at. Was it his parents who sinned that this happened to him? And blaming our parents is a very popular thing to do in my generation, and maybe yours too. On the other hand, sometimes we're tempted to blame entire groups of people, to point to them and say, they're the reason for my problems. Or still, we can choose to blame God. We say to God, other people aren't suffering like I am. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why me? And without ignoring the difficulty of this question, I'll just observe that we more frequently blame God because we're angry than because we actually think that God was out to get us. But there is another reaction to suffering. Rather than getting angry, it is to feel guilty. It's not someone else that I need to blame for my suffering, it's me that I need to blame for my suffering. Was it this man who sinned that he was born blind? Now, it's actually hard to imagine how that one would work out which is probably why the disciples asked Jesus the question. But when we get guilty, we tend to exaggerate our faults. Maybe I'm just a bad person. Maybe that's why this happened to me. And I'll just observe that in general, if you flip these two tracks of dealing with suffering, with guilt and fear, or guilt and anger, and you turn them into worldviews, you get two worldviews that don't seem to tell the whole story. The first is to say, if you're suffering, you're a victim, and there is someone to blame. The second is to say that if you're suffering, it's your fault. And so in the case of the blind man, Jesus dispenses with both of those views. So who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus says neither. Jesus will not be simplistic when it comes to suffering. Look at Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter in the Bible. It's a story about creation. Everything that God creates, God calls good. There is nothing that God creates that is not good. And God does not look on suffering as good. Therefore, God did not create suffering. If there is human suffering, if there is sickness and death in the world, it is because of sin. So in general, it is true. Scripture is convinced that suffering comes from sin, but not from sin in particular, but from sin in general. Sin, almost with a capital S, that has upset the order of God's good creation. And so it's false to look at one person and their particular sin and to say that's why that bad thing happened to them. Things are much more complicated than that, and Jesus won't fall into the trap. Plus, I think if any of us think about the bad things that we've done in our lives, we can ask ourselves, if God sent me a piece of suffering every time I did something wrong, would I still be here? Do you think you'd have breath in your lungs? Do you think you'd have a penny to put in the offering plate? No, you are here because God loves you and gives each moment of life to you as a gift. God sustains you in spite of your sin. And so what is Jesus' answer to this man's suffering? It's so that God's work might be revealed in him. It is for God's glory. Now we have to be careful here. We have to be careful about what we're not saying. Romans 8:28 tells us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God does not desire your suffering, but sometimes because of God's commitments to other things like free will or permitting the natural laws of the world to function, God will permit your suffering. Suffering is not good, but in it God will work for good. In some way, God will work to bring some good out of it. And this is where we need spiritual eyes. We need God to give us eyes to see the ways in which God's work might be revealed through and in spite of our suffering. We'd always prefer that this would happen by God giving us a miracle to take away our suffering. But we know too well that that doesn't always happen. Things are more complicated than that. But perhaps the way God brought you through your suffering can help someone. Or perhaps one day you're going to be able to walk with someone who's going through something similar. Perhaps you're going to have a change of heart. Your heart will grow in love and compassion for others and for God. We need spiritual eyes to see Jesus at work. In the story, the religious leaders have in front of them the plainest possible example of the work of God. It could not be any more plain. There was a man who was born blind, and now he's seeing. And yet, they try every possible tactic to dismiss it. And we skipped over a lot of this in the reading. I don't usually do this, but I took a few large chunks out for the sake of space and time. So do go look at John chapter 9 in a real Bible sometime. But the Pharisees tried to dismiss the miracle in every possible way. It couldn't be because Jesus is a sinner. Or maybe the man wasn't blind to begin with. Or maybe this isn't the same man that used to sit here and beg. And by the way, isn't it crazy that they don't even recognize the man that had been sitting there his whole life? Suffering makes us invisible. And they also say, well, maybe he wasn't born blind. And so they call his parents to verify. And then they try to make the man explain how Jesus actually did this. Okay, if he did it, so how did he do it? And the man describes the scene, the mud on his eyes, the trip to go wash in the pool of Siloam. But ultimately, he comes to depend on the only thing that any of us can say when God's grace comes into our lives. I can't answer all your questions, but I do know this. I was blind, and now I see. Explain it away if you want. Put me out if you want, but you can't take away my story. Well, they did drive him out of the synagogue, but they couldn't change the facts of what happened. Can you imagine being that man right after having been healed? He's never even seen Jesus. Jesus sends him to go wash in the pool, but when the man got back, Jesus was apparently not there. And so eventually, when Jesus hears that they had driven the man out of the synagogue, he comes to find him. And the man doesn't even know who he's talking to. He doesn't even know that it's the one who healed him. And so Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, and the man wasn't really sure who he was talking about, and then Jesus reveals it to be himself. And the full gravity of what has happened to him hits the man, and he falls down and he worships Jesus. Now bear in mind, people are not worthy of worship. Only God is, but Jesus does not correct the man. He does not say, like the other humans do in the Bible, "I'm just a man like you." The man's worship is not misplaced. So imagine being that man, at first saying, "Why me? Why did this happen to me? Who sinned to bring this about me, to bring this on me? Was it something that I did? Was it something that my parents did? God, why did you bring this on me? Why me?" But then Jesus comes in and his amazing grace transforms the "why me." Why would God favor me so much? Why me? I am a nobody in the eyes of the world, but God has lifted me up. In the words of Mary, God has brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Amazing love. How can it be? But God is always choosing the down and out. David, the son of Jesse, had plenty of reasons to ask, "Why me?" David, the runt of the litter, the one that gets stuck spending the nights out in the field with the sheep, the last son of many, his father forgets that he exists sometimes, or at least he doesn't think that he's particularly worth mentioning. But his brothers look like kings. God doesn't see the way that humans do. Humans look at outward appearances, but it says that God looks on the heart. And so God chooses David. God chooses David to be the king of Israel, the one through whom God's promises will begin to be fulfilled, the one who will eventually have a descendant named King Jesus. And God transforms David's "why me." David will pray in Psalm 8, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth." David will be far from perfect, and there will be times when his sin will indeed bring him suffering, and he'll tear his clothes and he'll cry, "Why me?" But David will never bow down and worship any god except the Lord. All his life, David looks to the one God. What about you? Are you in a why me moment right now? Are you angry? Are you guilty? Let the light of Jesus come into your life. Don't look at things the way that humans do. Ask God to give you spiritual eyes to see. Look at your own life in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There have been real times of darkness in my own life, maybe not by the standards of the world, but by the standards of the world, things were going well for me, but God doesn't see as humans see. But apart from the light of Christ, we can't truly see. And so when I come to look at my life through the lens of the gospel, that's when all the hymns come true for me. Why Jesus? Why me? To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. But then thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Why me, God? Why me? Thank you. I wonder if there is some darkness in your life that you want to invite Christ to bring some light to this morning. Maybe you're going through some suffering that seems completely pointless, or maybe you've simply come to a point of realizing that you don't want to walk in darkness anymore. The light of Christ has come into the world, my brothers and sisters. And if God is for us, then who is against us? If you feel that this morning, I just want to lead us in a prayer. Maybe just echo it in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, you see the darkness in my life. You see the suffering. You see the anger and the guilt that I carry. You know them intimately because you bore them on the cross so that I wouldn't have to be burdened by them. Give me spiritual eyes to see as you see. Send your light to me. Transform my why me from despair at my circumstances to joy in your salvation. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.